Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chul and daf Lamed Ches. We left off on daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, two lines from the end of the page. Ashkechinu Shmuel L'Talmidei Derav. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalman, Hashem Hashav and Eliyah. Also by Margie and David Sachs, in memory of David's father, George Sachs, Aaron Usher Zelig, Ben Yaakov Yitzchak, the Hashem Hashav and Eliyah. And it's also sponsored by Lyle Mitzner, in honor of his mother's fourth yard site, Mrs. Ruth Mitzner, Rus Bas Aryeh Zichron Levracha, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First thing we're going to talk about, pretty much the whole daf is about Pirchus. We've been discussing how if you have a Behema Mesukenes, if it's Mefarches at the time of the Shechita, it's agitated, it moves, it does something at the time of the Shechita, then it's a valid Shechita. So first the Gemara is going to have Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, what is considered to be a Pirchus? How much vitality does it need to show in order to demonstrate a pirchus? Then the Gemara is going to discuss at what point does the pirchus have to happen? The beginning of the Shechita, the middle of the Shechita, the end of the Shechita. We have three different opinions, and each one is going to explain how they arrived at their conclusion that the pirchus has to happen specifically at that part of the Shechita. And that conversation takes us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to shift topics, and it's going to talk about if a Jew shechts an animal that belongs to an Ovid Kochavim. So are we concerned that it was done l'shem avodah zarah, that the Ovid Kochavim has in mind that the Shechita the Jew is doing should be l'shem avodah zarah, and it's therefore going to make the animal not kosher? Or do we assume that the animal is kosher either because we don't assume that's what the guy had in mind, or even if he does have it in mind, maybe it doesn't make a difference because the Jew is the one that's doing the Shechita, and what the guy has in mind maybe doesn't matter anyway. So that's going to be a few opinions in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have two ways of understanding how the Mishnah is in fact a three-way machlokes tanaim. So let's begin again, two lines from the end of the page, on daf lamed zaynam beis. Ashkenu Shmuel talmidei derav. Shmuel found the talmidim of Rav. He ran into the talmidim of Rav. Amalu, so he said to them, "My amar Rav b'mesukenes. Tell me a chiddush that Rav said about a mesukenes. Meaning you're learning chulin. So good. So tell me what did Rav say about a mesukenes. So amalei hachi amar Rav. They said, "Oh, we'll tell you. This is what Rav said, that if at the time of the Shechita the behema mesukenes was goa, it let out a sound, or the let out excrement from its body, it defecated, v'kishkasha ba'azna, or it wagged its ear, hareza pirchus. That qualifies as a pirchus, and if that's what happened at the time of the Shechita, then you know the behemoth still had vitality. It's the Shechita that killed the behema, and therefore the behema's mutter to eat. So Amalahu, Shmuel said to the Talmidim of Rav, Yisrich le'laba le'azuzei uni? Is Rav really needed to tell me that you need a big Talmud Chacham like Rav to tell me a chiddush that when it wags its ear, when it moves its ear, that that's considered a pirchus? So I would say Shani Omer, I would disagree, and I would say that even something much smaller than that is considered a pirchus. Namely, Kol She'eno Dvarim Shamisa Osa, any Misa the Behema does that is not something that Misa causes the Behema to do is considered a pirchus, meaning any additional sign of life, any additional something that the animal does that is not just a sign of yitzias neshama, it's not just a sign of the animal dying, so that itself would qualify as a pirchus. Meinin hu dvarm shamisa osa, what would qualify as something that fits that criteria of dvarm shamisa osa, of something that misa does and is not and would not be considered a pirchus? So I'm ravan, the demon farsh l'minei demar Shmuel, that I heard Shmuel explained that the animal's foreleg was folded in upashatita and it stretches out. That's davar shamisa osa. That's something that would not qualify as a pirchus because that's just an animal dying. That's just something that happens as it's dying. But if the animal, as it was being shechted, its yad was pshuta, its foreleg was outstretched, and then v'kafafa, and then it draws it in. Dvarim Sheina Misa. So that's something that is not a sign of Misa. That's not something that Misa does. And since it's not something that Misa does, that in fact would qualify as a Pirchus, and that would tell you that the Shechita is valid. The Taras Chaim says that this HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into nature that when one dies, meaning what we see from this Gemara is that HaSiyadu Kfufa Peshatita, that's Dvar Shemisa, that it's natural for when an animal dies to have, if its arm is clenched, to let it go, to open it up. And the same is true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built that Teva at Shas Misa into a human being as well. That so long as a person is, he says it's a hashkafic thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to teach us a message that calls man that a person is alive, his hands are squeezed in as if to say, I want to take more, I want to be able to amass as much wealth, I want to be able to get as much stuff as I possibly can in this world. And then at the time of death, it's as if one is saying, I don't have anything anyway, that I'm not interested in taking anything else in. And Taras Chaim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built that even into the teva of a behema, so that we'll take musa from it. So we'll see how what happens at the time of death, that that you don't take anything with you. Now it's interesting, Shmuel had asked the Talmidim of Rav what Rav said. Rav said, they reported what Rav said, and then Shmuel said, Isruchle la'abba la'azuzi uni. So the name Abba, Rashi writes, was Shmuel would call Rav Abba. He didn't call him Rav, but Rashi says his name was really Rav, but Shmuel, out of respect, used to call him Abba, which is a sign of, it expresses a certain hierarchy, that he's like the Abba, that he's the person of higher stature. Tosus quotes in the name of the Aruch the opposite, that Rav's real name was Abba. Abba is an actual name. And Tosus says that when we call Rav throughout Shas, that's a sign of respect, that he's the Rav, but his real name was Abba. Shmuel was a friend of his, so Shmuel called him by his first name. He called him Abba. Betza says that according to Rashi, that Shmuel called him Abba as a derech kavod. So the Shmuel's comment over here that it's Shricha Leila Abba la Zuzei Uni is not a lashon of zilzul. It's Shmuel asking why does Rav require such a great pirchus? But he's not trying to be mezalzel do you really need someone like Rav to teach something like that? The Chida writes that Rashi and Tosfos certainly knew that Rav's name was really Abba, but what they mean to say is that the Talmidim called him Abba because they were calling him Abba not because it was his name. The Talmidim would call him Abba because it was a lashon of chashivos, that he was like a father to them. So the Chida writes, so therefore we can learn the halacha that if you have a person whose name is Abba, his children are allowed to call him Abba, because you have people his name is Abba, so the children are allowed to call him Abba. So he says, as long as they're calling him Abba because they're saying father, they're not calling him Abba because they're calling him by the first name, then it's going to be mutter. And the Chida writes this in a number of places. And then the Chida says, I'm not really sure that that's true, because it could be that Dafka Rav you were allowed to call Abba when you wanted to show kavod to him, because no one else called him Abba, they called him Rav, they would call Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Rebbe. So it's only such a small section of the population that would call him Abba. So when his Talmidim would call him Abba, it was very recognizable that it was done l'shem kavod. But maybe if it's the kind of person that everybody calls Abba, if the children call him Abba, then it's not going to be so recognizable that it's l'shem kavod, and maybe it's going to be a problem. So the Chida, in all of his friends, Shiurei Bracha, in Shem HaGedolim, in the Pesach Einayim, Chida wrote, 81 Sfarim. I think they say that he lived, Rav Shechter says, that the Chida lived 81 years, and he wrote 81 Sfarim, the same number of years that he lived. And Rav Shechter is often quick to point out, not that he wrote one when he was 1 year old, and one when he was 2 year old, and he had several years where he wrote several svarim, but the point is that he wrote a lot of svarim. So this is a theme that comes up a lot in the Chida svarim about the name of Rav. In the Tshuvas Yofel Lelev, he says based on the Chida that if you have a person whose name is Rabbeinu and everyone calls him Rabbeinu, so maybe his children or his talmidim are allowed to call him Rabbeinu as well. He quotes a Gemara in Pesachim that they asked Rav Huna Breid Rav Nasan what his name name is, and he said, oh, my name is Rav Huna. And they said, you know, you call yourself Rav Huna? So he said, no, yeah, that Balashem ani. And Rashi says that he said, Mikatnusi, from when I was a little kid, everyone always called me Rav Huna, that his name was Rav Huna. That's what they called him. So apparently you could have a person who has a name, Rabbeinu. So he says, just like the Chida says that maybe someone whose name is Abba, in his conclusion, he says, maybe you should not call him that if you're his child or his Talmud. So maybe Morenu or Rabbeinu or something like that, maybe you'd have the same issue. It's a bit of a funny conversation. Okay, so... The says the Gemara Vayter, Maika Mashmalan. What is the big chiddush of Shmuel when he says that when the animal is kofef the yad, that's considered a pirchus? That when the animal draws its foreleg in, that's considered a pirchus? Tanina, that's already beferish in the Mishnah. That behema daka she pashta yada velo hichzira psula. That if a behema daka stretches out its foreleg and doesn't pull it back in, that is not enough of a pirchus, and that's going to be possible. The shechita is going to be possible. Because she'ein elotzas nefesh, that's just a sign of it dying. That's just the movement that it makes as it dies. But it's not really a pirchus. But the implication is ha-hichzira. But if it was kofef yada, then it would be a pirchus, and therefore kshera. Then the shchita would be kasher. So what's Shmuel teaching us when he says that kfifas yad is considered a pirchus? It's beferish in the Mishnah that pshitas yad is not a pirchus, and therefore kfifas yad is a pirchus. So it says, no, imi masnisin, if it were only from the Mishnah, hava amina, I would have thought that kfifas yad is considered a pirchus, dafka de kaifa upashavat de kaifala, is only if the yad was already drawn in, and then what the animal did was two directional, stretched it out, pulled it back in, that's considered a pirchus. Aval pshuta v'kafafta, but if the starting position of the yad was outstretched, and all it did was one directional, and only pulled it back in. So lo, I would have thought that would not be considered a pirchus of kamash mula, and that's what Shmuel is telling me, that any time there's a movement of the animal to draw in, that's considered a pirchus, even if it started in an outstretched position. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges Rav, that Rabbi Yossi omer hayira meir omer. Rabbi Yossi says that a meir used to say that if you have a behema musukenes, that's goa b'shah shchita, ein ze pirchus, that if it lets out a sound, a cry at the time of Shechita, that is not considered a pirchus. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi Mishmo, afilu mitil rei v'kishkusha b'znava, ein ze pirchus, that even if it defecates or it wags its tail, that is not considered a pirchus. So kasha goa go, kasha rei arei. So it's against the what Rav said, because the Brisa says that it's not a pirchus. Rav said that goa is a pirchus. And the same with Hatalis rei, that the Brisa says that it's not a pirchus. And Rav says that does count as a pirchus when it's matal rei. So it says Marina, not a stira. Goa, goa lo kasha, hada avikala, hada amikala. The stira about what type of about letting out a sound as to whether that's a pirchus or not is not a stira. When Rav says that such a thing is considered a pirchus, it's talking about where it's a strong sound that the animal lets out. It's a thick, a strong voice that the animal lets out. That clearly comes from the koach hachiyus of the animal, and that's a sign of vitality, and therefore that is considered a real pirchus. Whereas when the Brisa says that goa is not a pirchus, it's just the animal dying. It's just it's a fading sound. So the animal's fading away, and it lets out a fading sound as it's dying. That would not be a pirchus. But rei nami lo kasha. And also, as far as defecating as it dies, is also not a kasha in terms of whether it's a pirchus or not. Kan b'shoseses, kan matrezes. If it just drips out of the animal, that's not a pirchus. That's just the life ebbing from the animal. Whereas if it's matrezes, if it's done with some koach and some force, so then that's a sign of chiyus, that's a sign of vitality, and that would qualify as a pirchus. Now, says the Gemara, we're now going to have a three-way machlokas amoraim as far as when the pirchus has to happen in order for it to be considered a pirchus. Amar Rav Chista, pirchus sha'amru, when we said that an behemah musukenes that has a pirchus is going to be kasher, besov shchita. That's dafka if it happens at the end of the shchita. But we don't really mean that. My besov shchita, what do we mean besov shchita? When we say besov shchita, we mean be'emtza shchita. There's going to be an opinion that says, actually, actual Sof Shechita, but that's not this opinion. Rav Chista's opinion is that it has to happen not at the beginning of the Shechita, in the middle of the Shechita. So then we know that if the Pirchus happens in the middle of the Shechita, that there was still Chiyus left at the end of the Shechita, so the Shechita is what killed the animal, and therefore it's a Kasher Shechita. As opposed to a Pirchus that only takes place in the beginning of the Shechita, that's not a sign of vitality that exists through the end of the Shechita. So for all we know, yes, it showed vitality at the beginning of the Shechita, but it might have been dead before the end of the Shechita, and therefore you cannot trust that the animal is kosher. Amar Rav Chista Mina Amina Lassar. Rav Chista says, where do I get this idea that the Pirchus that our Mishnah was talking about has to take place in middle of the Shechita? Ditznan, we have a Mishnah, Behema Daka Shapashta Yada, meaning our Mishnah. The Mishnah says we have Behema Daka that stretches out its foreleg, Velo Hichzira, and it doesn't pull it back in, Psula. That is not a Pirchus, that does not qualify, and it is Pasul. Well, Emas, when exactly was it Poshet and not Machzir its Yad? Ilema B'Sov Shechita, if we're talking about where it happened after the Shechita, Sov Shechita, so why would that not be a Pirchus? Kal Hechi Tesi V'Tezel? Does the Behema need to live even after the Shechita is over to say that Pshitas Yad Velo Hichzira is going to be Pasul at the end of the Shechita? I mean, isn't that a sign that it was living at least at the end of the Shechita? The animal is not supposed to be walking around after the Shechita, right? It's the Shechita has to kill it, so it's not going to be alive at that point. Elulav, it must be we're talking about Behemsa Shechita. And since it was not Machzir as Yada, we don't view that to be a Pirchus. But you see from here that the Pirchus that the Mishnah is discussing, the whole case of the Mishnah, is not B'Sof HaShechita. So it must be that when he says Sof HaShechita, he doesn't mean Sof HaShechita, he means the Emtsa Shechita. That's what it's all about. That's the entire conversation of the Mishnah. So Amalei Rava will tell you that Rava said to Rav Chista, Liolam, really it could be Bisov Shechita. That the Mishnah was talking about a Pirchus that happens Bisov Shechita, which we understand to mean like right after the Shechita. And when you ask why if it doesn't, if it's not Machzir the Yad after the Shechita, would it be possible? What do you expect the animal to live after the Shechita and to walk around? Shani Omer, Kol She'ein Osekin, Bisov Shechita, any Behema Mesukenes that doesn't do this at the end of the Shechita, that after the Shechita is not Machzir Tziyad, Biyadua, Shenishmasa Natule Menachodim Lekain. It is a surefire sign, it's Biyadua, that it had died prior to that, prior to the Gemara Shechita, and therefore it's considered to be a Nevela. So yeah, it's true that after it's shechted, the animal doesn't have to still walk around and have vitality or whatever, but if you see that all it's got left is to be Poshet Yada, so then you know that it had died prior to that, that it had died prior to the end of the Shechita. Now, the word biyadua is an important word, meaning one could have formulated this line as kol she'ina osakein besov shechita choshen shenishmasa natulei mena kodem l'chein. Doesn't say choshen would mean, do we know exactly when it died? We at least have to be choshesh that it may have died before the end of the Shechita. Doesn't say that. Biyadua means with great confidence we assume that the animal died before the end of the Shechita, and therefore it's a problem. That's what the Gra points out in the Chassam Sofer as well, and the Medayik this way from the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Chassam Achol Sassurus Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel writes that in this case, Harezu Nevela Velokin Aleha, that it's a Nevela you get Malkus for. If it was a Suffolk, you wouldn't get Malkus. But you see that it's not a Suffolk, that we're sure that it died prior to the end of the Shechita, and that it's therefore Nevela. Okay, that is opinion number one. The opinion of Rav Chista is that when we talk about Pirchus, the Pirchus that we have to be talking about is a Pirchus in the middle of the Shechita. Rava wasn't convinced that his proof was such a great proof, but that was Rav Chista's opinion. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Pirchus Amru B'tchila Shechita, that the Pirchus that we're talking about is not a Pirchus Be'emta Shechita, it's a Pirchus in the beginning of the Shechita, and even if the Pirchus only happens at the beginning of the Shechita, that gives us enough confidence to know for sure that the animal still had enough vitality left, that it's the Shechita that killed it, that it did not drop dead in middle of the Shechita, it's the Shechita that killed the animal, it's going to be kosher. So Amar Rav Nachman Ritzel Mina Aminila, where do I get this idea that the Pirchus works even if it's at the beginning of the Shechita? Ditnan, our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Amar Rabbi Shimon, Hashochet Belayla, that if you shach the Behemah Mesukenes at night, and because it was dark, you don't see if it was Mefarches or not. But then, Lamachra, Matzak Salam Aleim Dam, Adam. The next morning, you find the walls are full of blood. Kshera, we assume that, okay, it must have been Mefarches if the walls are full of blood, and therefore it's going to be Kasher. Shezinka, because you see that the blood squirted and splattered to such an extent that would qualify as a Pirchus and Ukamidas Rabbi Eliezer, and that is assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that a strong splattering of the dam is enough of a sign of vitality to qualify as a Pirchus. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel taught a Chiddush, that when we say that the walls are full of dam, it doesn't mean the walls of the room. It means the walls of the animal's neck, that it's the blood squirted all around the area of the animal's neck, but not the kosle habayis. So even that is enough of a sign that it had squirted with some level of force. And so you see that the pirchus is at the beginning of the shechita. How so? If I understand very well that pirchus that happens even at the beginning of the shechita qualifies as a pirchus, and therefore kal v'chomer if it happens at any other point of the shechita, obviously that would be a pirchus. Then shapir, then I understand very well by seeing the kosei beis hashechita that are malei dam, you know that at some point it was zinka, that at some point it was squirting, it was shooting, and therefore you know that it was that you had a pirchus at some point in the shechita, and that's all you need. Eliyamar b'sof shechita. But if you're going to say that pirchus only works if it happens either be'emtzah or b'sof shechita, that it doesn't work if it happens b'tchila shechita. It's not enough of an indicator if it happens b'tchila shechita. So lechus shlomo b'tchila shechita zinka. How are you going to say that when you wake up the next morning, oh, I see that the blood splattered, so it must be that it was mefarches? No, maybe the blood splattered at the beginning of the shechita, and that's not enough. It needs to splatter at the end of the shechita, in the middle of the shechita. So how does that prove anything? Why does the Mishnah think that that's a good enough raya that it was mefarches? So therefore, you see clearly, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that it must be that pirchus b'tchila shechita is enough. From the fact that we view this as sufficient evidence that the next morning, seeing that the kosei beis hatzaver are full of dam, is enough evidence that there was a pirchus, when all it's really evidence to is that there was a pirchus at the beginning of the shechita. So that tells me that a pirchus at the beginning of the shechita is good enough. Says, well, nah, it's not such a great raya, because v'dilma shayni zinuk to adif. Maybe, you know, chanami, other types of pirchus have to happen in the middle or the end of the shechita. But zinuk is such a sign of vitality that it would even work at the beginning of the shechita. Meaning all you've proven from that line is that this type of pirchus would be good enough at the beginning of the shechita. Maybe zinuk is such a sign of chiyus, it's a major pirchus, and therefore that's going to work at the beginning of the shechita. But does that necessarily tell you that when it its leg quivers or whatever, that stretches its leg, that's also a pirchus that would work in the beginning of the shechita? So the Gemara says, no. Umi adif, what, you think zinuk is a stronger pirchus than the others? Vatana, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Eliezer Omer daya im zinka, that it doesn't need a major pirchus. All it needs is zinka. So the lashon daya, like all it needs, it would be sufficient, is that he's trying to be makel. He's trying to say that this is less of a pirchus, not more of a pirchus. So then you understand Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's raya from the Mishnah, that even zinka, which is such a minor sign of vitality, works at the beginning of the shechita. Then obviously all the other signs of vitality, which are stronger signs of vitality, are going to work at the beginning of the shechita. Says Gemara, but wait, maybe the Lashon Daya is not such a great raya that it's a lesser pirchus, because Kal Midram Gamliel, maybe Zinuk is less of a pirchus than that which Rabban Gamliel required, because Rabban Gamliel required that it should be mefarches both biyad uberegel, that it has to move the hind leg and the foreleg at the same time. So, okay, Zinuk is less than that. But va'adiv midrabanan, but maybe zinuk is more of a pirchus than that which the chacham required, which is o yad o regel, one or the other, any of its legs could have moved, and that would be enough of a pirchus according to the rabbanan. And since zinuk is less of a pirchus than that which Rabban Gamliel required, that's why Rabbi Lazar used the lashon of daya. He's using daya in contrast to Rabban Gamliel, that this is less than that you don't need yad and regel, that if there's zinuk, that's good enough. So now the kasha returns on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. How can you, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, bring a raya that pirchus b'tchila shechita is good enough. All you've shown me is that zinuk b'tchila shechita is good enough. But maybe when you have a lesser pirchus, like yad o regel, maybe that has to happen b'emtza shechita or b'sof shechita. Maybe b'tchila shechita would not be good enough. Says Gemara, I'm Ravina, I'm really Sama Bar Chilkai, that Sama Bar Chilkai told me that Akshiba Avua Devar Abuvram, that the father of the son of Abuvram was looking into this issue. Who is the father of the son of Abuvram? It's Abuvram, right? Meaning it's a funny way to call somebody, right? I am the father of the son of Aryeh Leibowitz, right? Meaning that makes me him, right? Meaning so that's a little bit of a funny way to refer to him. So Rashi says, no one knew Abuvram; they only knew his son. So they were miyaches him even when using his own name. They were miyaches him after his son. You don't know how often you remember that name anywhere in Shas. I don't know. I don't know if it comes up other places. So the Avua de Barmila, and some say that it was Achua de Bar Abuvram, that it was the brother of the son of Abuvram, meaning another son of Abuvram, that Umid Rabbanan mi Adif, can you really say that Zinuk is a stronger Pirchus than the Pirchus that the Rabbanan had identified of Yad O Regel? Vatnan, but the Mishnah says, V'cham Momrim, Adshitaparches O Biyad O Beregel. Lashon HaChachamim is that it's not enough of a Pirchus until it has a Pirchus of the Yad or the Regel. So the Rabbanan seem to be saying it needs something big. It needs something stronger than what others are suggesting. Well, Rabbanan Heyakaimu, which previous Shita are they commenting on and saying, no, we need bigger, we need stronger, we need a bigger sign of vitality. Ilei Medrum Gamliel, if they're commenting on Rungamliel said you need Yad and Regel. So then Kivan Shepirchusim Bibayilei. The Rabbanan are clearly saying something less than that. So that if that's what they're commenting on, they should say Kivan Shepirchusa, that, okay, once it does Yad or Regel, you don't need both Yad and Regel. Elipshita Ad Rabbi Eliezer. So it must be that they're commenting on Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer said it's good enough if there's a zinuk, if there's a squirt of blood from the neck of the animal, and they and the Rabbanu come along and say, no, it's not enough. Until you have Yad or Regel. So you see that even the Rabbanan's Pirchus is bigger than Zinuk. So E Adif Mayad. If Zinuk is more of a Pirchus than Yad or Regel, then why would the Chabmi use the Lashon of Ad? It should say Kivan Shepirchusa. So it must be that Pirchus B'Yad or Beregel, Oberegel is a greater Pirchus than Zinuk, and that's what the Chacham said, that it's not enough to have a Zinuk. You need it to be Mefarches Biyad Oberegel. Bottom line is that we therefore have a good Raya that Pirchus B'tchilas HaShechita is good enough. Because if the weakest type of Pirchus is Zinuk, which we've just proven that it is, if the weakest type of Pirchus is Zinuk, and in the Mishnah it's clear that the Zinuk could happen even at the beginning of the Shechita, then for sure all the other types of Pirchus could happen at the beginning of the Shechita. Those are even greater signs of vitality, and that's enough of a Raya that the Shechita is what killed the animal. So that is opinion number two. That is the opinion of Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak, that the Pirchus Shamru is B'tchila Shechita. So far we have two opinions. Rav Chista, who said it has to be B'emtza Shechita. We have Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who says it has to be B'tchila Shechita. And now the third opinion. Rava Amar Pirchus Sha'amru B'sov Shechita, that it has to be a Pirchus that begins at the end of the Shechita and continues until after the Shechita is concluded. The Pesachei Tshuva in Yerodei Asimin Yud Zayin quotes a Tzvua Shar that Kol Shekein, if the entire Pirchus was after the Shechita, that it's going to be Mutter. Meaning if it's still showing some signs after the Shechita, it's going to be Mutter. But if it starts at the end of the Shechita and continues after, that's Muchach, that it had Chiyus up until the very end of the Shechita. But if it was only Mefarches, B'tchila Shechita, or Be'emtza Shechita, Rava says that would not be good enough. So I'm Rava Mina Aminila. Where do I get my opinion that it has to be at the end of the Shechita? Zitanya. We have a brisa that darshans the pasuk as follows. The pasuk says, "Sharo kesef o'ez kiva leidva yeshivus yom tachzimo miyom shmini vala yiratzel lekarbon yishal Hashem." That we define what is a valid carbon. So we define it as being a shar o kesef o'ez that is yivaleid and it survives 7 days tachzimo. Then after that, it could be a carbon Hashem. So we darshan each word in this pasuk. Sharo kesef prat leklayim. It's got to be a shar or a kesef. Can't be a klayim that's from two different aminim, from so if it's born from Rachel, which is a type of keves, and a tayish, which is a type of eis, that doesn't mix, that's klayim. O eis prat l'nidma, and when we say o eis, it has to be an animal that reflects who its parents are, that's similar to its father and mother, as opposed to a behemoth that's born from an eis and a tayish, which are both types of ezim, and it looks like a rachel, which is a type of keves. So that would be an invalid carbon if it's a freak, that it doesn't, you know, it looks entirely different from its from its mother. Cow and a bull, then they have a sheep, you know, like that would be a pasul of carbon. Ki valeid prat liyotze dofen. Ki valeid excludes yotze dofen, that any time it was a C-section, that it wasn't born derech harechem. Shivas yamim prat l'mechusus man. Shivas yamim means it has to have been alive already for at least 7 days in order to be royal akrava. Tachas imo prat liyasom. Unbelievable. Tachas imo means that if this animal is a yasom, meaning its mother is no longer alive, then it's not a valid korban. So hay yasom hechidami. What does that mean? How long does the mother have to be alive for this animal to be a valid korban? If we're going to say that the mother gave birth to it, and then at some later point the mother died, that's going to pasul the baby from being a korban? What, the mother has to live forever? The baby was born 3 years ago, and the mother just died. Yes, so now the baby's not going to be valid. You have to keep track. That's not mistaver at all. So ella demesa v'hadri yilidte. No, it must be that we're talking about that the mother died, and then the baby was born. How could the baby have been born right after the mother died? The Gemara in Baba Basra and Nida tells us that the uber always dies before the mother. So Tosfos writes, yeah, that's if it's dying of natural causes. But if you kill the mother or you shecht the mother, so it could be that the mother will die and not the baby. So the mother will die, and then you pull the baby out, and that's what. So you tear the mother out at that, the baby out at that point, in order to save the baby. So you pull it out of the dofen of mikiva leinafka. But if that's the case, then it's a yotze dofen. Meaning, if the mother's already dead and you're pulling the baby out, that's a yotze dofen. So we already learned that a yotze dofen is possible for a karban. So you're not adding anything with this drasha. El pshita. So it must be that it's not that the mother dies after, nor that the mother dies before, but rather zepir l'shemisav, zepir l'chaim, that it happens like at the same time as the baby's being born, the mother dies in the same moment. Well, I understand very well if you need the behemoth to show vitality even after the end of the leida, hainu disrucha lemute. So now I understand why I need tachasimo to tell me to exclude a Vlad whose mother died at the Gemara Aleda, even though the baby was born while the mother was alive. Because you can't you can't learn this halacha from Kiyiv Aleda, because it's not a Yotze Dofen. It came out in the natural way. But if in that context you don't need that the mother should be alive and have a sense of chiyus at the end of the Leda, lamale, why do I need a drasha from Tachas Imo? I should just learn it from Kiyiv Aleda now. I should learn from Kiyiv Aleid. Because if the mother's dead by the time the baby's born, I don't care whether you pull it out of by cutting it open, the mother, or it comes out derech harechem. That's a yotze dofen. Coming out of a dead animal is a yotze dofen. It's not, that would not be considered a birth. So it would already be covered. So you see that anything that's tali b'chiyus, it needs to have the chiyus at the conclusion of that process. So we're just taking that halacha and now applying it to us. That pure Pirchus is a din of chiyus, so you see that Pirchus also needs to be at the very conclusion, that it needs to be mefarches even at the gemar hashchita, even at the very end of the shchita. So that's the raya to this third shita of Rava, that Pirchus Shamru is bisof hashchita. Amar Rava, hilchusa ki hamasnisa. The halach is like the following brisa, the behema daka, that a behema daka, like a goat or a sheep or something like that, shepashtu yadav lo zira psula. If it stretches out its foreleg and doesn't pull it back in, that is not a sign of pirchus. That is not enough. That's not enough of a sign of vitality. The shchita is going to be pasul, and it's not a raya that it was alive until the end of the shchita. But that's only true if it was the foreleg that did that. Aval beregel, but if it was a hind leg of the animal, well then bein pashav lo kafa, bein kafa lo pashta. Movement in either direction is enough of a pirchus, kshera, and therefore it's going to be kasher kosher, it counts as a pirchus and it counts as a valid shechita. So the Brisa explains, but medvar mamurim, when do we say that if it was poshet yad and not machzir it, that it's not considered a pirchus and it's psula, that's only by a daka, bidaka, aval begasa, but by a behema gasa, bein biyad, bein regal, bein pashta v'lo kafa, bein kafa v'lo pashta kshera. By a behema gasa, any movement whatsoever of any of the legs, a movement outward, a movement inward, foreleg, hind leg, doesn't matter, a gasa is larger and therefore in order, it's more onerous and challenging for it to move its limbs. So by moving the heavy limbs of a behema gasa, that's enough of a sign of chiyus, regardless of which limb it's moving, of whether it's a foreleg or a hind leg, or which direction it's going. Va'of, and as far as a bird, afilu lo rifrif el agapo, velo kishkesh el esnavo, even if it just flaps its wing or it wags its tail, hareza pirchus, that is a valid pirchus and it's kosher. The Rishonim raised the question, l'chora, by a behema that's mechashesh b'znava, it's also a pirchus, that's what we said in the Mishnah. So why is that a chiddush by the oaf that we're saying, lo kishkesh el esnavo, that that's a valid pirchus? Of course it's a valid pirchus, that even works for a behema. So the Rishonim all answered, the Rashba, the Ramban, that had it not been for the Brisa, I would have said that kishkesh b'znava is considered a pirchus for a behema, because that's a maisa chasha for a behema. But an oaf's zanav is just like a feather, it's nothing. So I would think that that doesn't count as a pirchus for an oaf, so kamashmalan that it does. So my kamashmalan, what is Rava coming to tell me when he says that the halacha is like this brisa, kulutaninu? We already had everything in the Mishnah. There's nothing this brisa says that we didn't already learn in the Mishnah. We said, behema daka shapashli yadav lo xir psula, shein elo tzas nefesh. So it says yad, so we see yad in regelo, that it's only yad that we would say this about, that it's not considered a pirchus, but on regular it would be a pirchus, and it also said daka, so daka in gasalo, right? It already told us the halacha that this is only true of behema daka, but a behema gasa, any type of movement, we could have been medayik from the Mishnah itself, that any type of movement on a behema gasa in one direction or the other, whether it be a foreleg or a hind leg, is a valid pirchus. So what did Rava teach me? What did the Braisa tell me that the Mishnah didn't already tell me? Oaf, it's strichle delotanan. What it taught me is about oaf. It didn't say anything about oaf in the Mishnah. Why didn't it say anything about oaf in the Mishnah? That's a good question. It didn't say anything about chaya in the Mishnah either. Okay, so the Mishnah left out some of the halachas of pirchus. Okay, now we move on to a new Mishnah. Hashochel ovid chavim. If a Jew is shechting a behemoth that belongs to an ovid chavim, and you don't know what the Ovid Chavim has in mind. Is he having in mind that it should be the Shema of the Zara or not? Shechita so kshera. The Shechita is kosher. We do not assume that the Stam Machshavas Ovid Chavim is La Avodah Zara. We don't automatically make that assumption. It sounds like if we hear him say that he's having in mind the Shema of the Zara, it would passel the Shechita of the Yisrael, because the Machshava of the Bailim is able to passel even when someone else is shechting. As we're going to see, there's a Beferish Shechita in Tanayim like that. Now, the Ramban struggles with the following. Shechitas u'ksheira sounds like b'dieved, not l'chadchila, that you're not allowed to shecht for a nachri, because otherwise we would say shochtin l'nachri, right? But that's not what we're saying. We said, ha shochet lo v'chav shechitas u'ksheira. Why is it only b'dieved? Why are you not allowed to shecht for a nachri? So the Ramban has three approaches. Number one, he says, l'chadchila you shouldn't do it, because you always have to be choshish that maybe he will have kavan alav adazara. So don't go around shechting for an ovid chavim. Second, he says that even according to the Shita that according to the Tanakama, when you hear from the Nachri that he has a machshava that the Shechita Sishol should be the Shema of the Zara, that the Behema would be kosher, but don't do that. Meaning, even if you hold that this Tanakama is saying that that even if you know that he has Kavanah L'Avod Zara, it's still a fine Shechita. Yeah, but that's certainly something you wouldn't want to do. Or alternatively, he says L'Chadchila you are allowed to shecht for a Nachri. The reason we use the Lashon is because had we said shochtin l'nachri, I would have thought that which the Tana is allowing you to be l'chadchila to shecht for a nachri, that's to tell me that there's no isra of lifnei either in doing so. But nevertheless, it might not be the right thing to eat it. It's just not a violation of lifnei either when you're shochtin l'nachri. Okay, but anyway, that's the Tana comment. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says a Jew should not be shechting the animal of an ovid chavim. So I'm a Rabbi Eliezer. Afilu shachtol lechol lo ovid chavim the mechatzu kavit shala psula. Even if you're shachting and you're going to eat most of the animal, the ovid chavim is just getting a kezayis of meat from some small part of the animal. Still, the shechit is possible. Shestam machsheves ovid chavim lavod chavim. The stam machshava of ovid chavim is lavod zara. Am Rabbi Yossi kal v'chomer advar. He says, I'll bring a kal v'chomer that a machsheves ovid chavim will not possible a shechit of Yisrael. Umabim makom shemachshava pasalus. If by Hegdish, where we know that Machshav is very important because a Machshav is Pigel will invalidate the whole thing, a Machshav is Psul will invalidate the whole thing. Whose Machshav am I interested in? Only the guy that's actually doing the Avoda. By Chulin, where Machshav is not as big of an Indian, it doesn't matter as much. I shouldn't care what the owner of the animal is thinking. I should only care about what the shochet is thinking. So hani tanai islu drabelos rabbi yosi. These tanai, the Tanakam who says that Yisrael shachts for novi chavim, that the shechit is kosher, and Rabbi Elazar says that the shechit is possible, assume like Rabbi Elazar rabbi yosi. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar rabbi yosi, shamati shabaylim mefaglin, that the baylim could be mefagel lekarban. Miu Tanakam savar, but the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar is as follows. They both hold that the baylim, the nachri, has a machshav level the zara, could really cause a problem. But the Tanakam holds, ishamine dechashvin ilo lo. Only if you know that he has such a machshav, it's a problem. Stam machshav ovid chavim lavos chavim lo aminan. But we don't assume he has a kavana level the zara. Rabbi Elazar savar afal gavdelo shamine dechashv stam machshav ovid chavim lavos chavim aminan. And he holds that no, you assume he has kavana level the zara. And then a third sheet of Asar Biyosi lemeimar afal gavdeshamine dechashv zemachashv zeh ovid lo aminan. I don't care what he's thinking. It doesn't matter what he thinks. He doesn't have the ability to impact anything with his thoughts. And yikada amri b'tshamine d'chashiv pligi, that they argue when you thought of, when you heard what his machshava was. Tanakam r'savu k'yamrin zeh machashiv zeh oved hani mili b'fnim aval b'chutz lo. Tanakam thinks that the other guys, the Bailim's machshava doesn't affect the oved by chulin chutz mipnim lo yalfinan. It's only a din by kachim v'asar Rabbi Eliezer l'meimar yalfinan chutz mipnim. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's even a din by chulin. And then Vasar Rabbi Yossi lemeimer, Rabbi Yossi is the third shita that I feel b'fnim nami zemachashiv zovid lo aminan. Even by kachim, it doesn't matter what the bailim is thinking. It only matters what the oved is thinking. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Itmar on the third line of Lamed Tesef and Aleph. Everyone have a great day.